Welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, Ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of 2 Peter, and we're in chapter 3. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
John's all about the Gnostics. They went out from us because they were not of us, because if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. They say you need a deeper knowledge. He says you don't need that. You have an anointing from God. You have no need that any man should even teach you. He says you have the Holy Spirit. So we saw the Gnostics. We saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Of course, they were false teachers. Right? They put Jesus to death. They said, let's crucify him. Then you had the Judaizers who said, well, we'll change colors. We'll get a different coat on. And we'll go out there and we'll say, yeah, we believe in Jesus, but you've got to be circumcised. You've got to keep the law. You've got to become Jewish. They were false teachers. Paul went nose to nose with them. What about atheists? Yeah, them too. What about idolaters of every stripe? Yes! What about secularists? I believe the last days is going to feel like it's a secularist view, but it's truly going to have, like in Scooby-Doo, going to pull off the mask. It's going to be Satanism, because the dragon is going to be the one who's going to be worshipped. It says it. The whole world will worship the dragon. How are they going to get him from here to there? They're doing it now. Okay, they're getting them ready already. The Bible says this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, little children, it is the last time. He's writing 2,000 years ago. Little children, it is the last time, and as you know, the Antichrist shall come. Singular. He says, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know it's the last time. There were many of them then. If there were many of them then, how many are there now? We have nearly 8 billion people on the earth. This is what it says in Proverbs. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. People say, that's every generation. If you take that tact with this verse, you're doing exactly what he says in the verse I'm referring to. He says there's going to come scoffers in the last days. And in the next verse, it says they're going to say everything's continued as it always has been. So somebody will take it. No, there's an entire cross-section of generation that's going to say they're righteous in their own eyes. A whole cross-section. Not just parents and kids. You know, parents and kids get along in their hate for God now, in many cases. The Bible says there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes. Listen to this. And their eyelids are lifted up. They know. Why do the heathen rage and the nations imagine of anything? It says they want to cast off the bands of God. But not only are they lifted up there, but they're lifted up against the older man and the older woman. There's that insolence that comes about among young people toward older people. Not all across. This is not everything. We're not there yet, but we're in it. They've been taught, they've been trained that they're smarter. Somebody said, if you in the new generation think you're smarter than the generation before you, just get this. A car, when it was built in the 20s and 30s and 40s, told you how to adjust the lifters. The cars you get now tells you don't drink the antifreeze. That's the difference. Okay, no, you can't have this nonsensical self-absorption to the point where I know it all and I'm the king of my own universe. Everything should revolve around me. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth are as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among them. So what are we talking about? We know in the last days, scoffers, it's going to be everybody on steroids being evil. We have not had that long ago that somebody like Jane Austen writes books and novels that are just tear-jerking, sweet, wonderful throwbacks for you and me. For her, it was her generation, her day. She was just writing about what she knew. But what we have now is, that's a big on by. We don't even know who we are anymore. Men are men. I saw a woman had a shirt on that said, real women aren't men. Okay, so she had to make a statement that's like that simple. Now the Bible says, knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Why are they scoffers? Because they're walking after their own lusts. And saying, where is the promise of His coming? You realize what's going on in our world? In front of the EU Convention Center, whatever they call it, the EU building where all the nations over in Europe get together, they have a woman riding the beast. I've got an image of a woman riding a beast. We were given a statue to be put in America that was something similar to that, that was kind of depicting the last days kind of things. CERN has a goddess of destruction out front. You know what they're doing? They're saying, where is he? Where is he? So you know what they do? They'll take a child and they'll say, just take that baby. You don't want that baby, you just set it aside. We don't need that. Where is he? They're provoking him on every hand. But God is not slack concerning his promises, but is long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what he's going to say. He says, these people are out there, they're poking me in the eye. They're hurting my people. They're hurting the children. And yet God stays his hand. The Bible says they're saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. It's funny because it's like they can't even get their verbiage straight. They had to admit there was a creation. Okay, back then, that was the way they talked. They didn't talk about a Big Bang. That came around in the early 1900s. You know, Darwin and all these people had to justify all their nonsense and give us billions of years. But they said, it's always been this way. This is what you might call a clash of ideologies. There's a group of people who believe in what's called uniformitarianism. Everything's been uniform forever. And then there's catastrophism. We know it wasn't. Men lived to be 800-900 years old in the antediluvian world. And that was because the world never had rain. We didn't have the same kind of atmosphere. You know that brontosaurus with that big long neck, he's got lungs way back here. He couldn't even breathe in our environment. He couldn't even breathe. He couldn't get a breath in just to get it back here, to get it back out, before he needed more air. This was a very highly oxygenated environment before the flood. After the flood, everything changed. That was a catastrophe. And after it changed, everybody started diminishing a lot quicker. They still had robust systems, but it took a while. They dwindled down to 200 and 300 years of age. And then eventually it leveled out at about 70. And if by strength you get 80, that's pretty amazing. Okay, so this is the way the Bible teaches us it happened. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's fine. You can do whatever you want. But if you don't believe it, you're not believing it because you won't believe it, not because you can't believe it. The Bible tells us Jesus came 2,000 years ago. He came, and what he had with him when he came was a genealogy that went right back to Adam. Luke went all the way back to Adam. It's just amazing. God lays it all on the line. If you want to ask the question, he's got the answer. But they're scoffers because they want to walk the way they want to walk. You know the idea I mentioned a minute ago, uniformitarianism, catastrophism. You've probably heard this, but I want to reiterate it because it would be good to stir up our pure minds, right, by putting us in remembrance. Okay, let's do that for a minute. You remember that when they got to Mount Everest and they got to the top, they found what? Clams, right? Clams in the closed position. And they were petrified. Why? Because when clams die, they normally go like that. They open up. They relax. Just like a person's eyes open, I guess, when you die. You know, you just everything relaxes. Boom, you know, their eyes. What it is they just open up. But these didn't. These were petrified. In fact, as they write about it, they said these were fossilized clams that were found in the closed position. The only way for this to occur is for large amounts of sediment, stone, sand, moved by water, to rapidly bury these clams alive. And these types of clams are found atop mountains, including Mount Everest. Amazing. All over the earth. What did God do? He put them up there with the water because nobody was getting to the top of those mountains for the longest of time. They didn't get a bunch of Baptists to go up and put clams on top of Mount Everest. I guarantee you that. I don't know if they'd get halfway up before they'd be out of breath and need a cup of coffee and some cake. You know, it's just the kind of a thing. My point being is obvious, right? They're scoffing. They're scoffing because they want their lustful life. They don't want any kind of confines. The Bible tells us that when they come, they're going to say things that are nonsensical. They're going to say, since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as ever they did, uniformitarianism. I want to tell you a couple of things that you'll see. If you go back in your Bible and you look it up, you'll see in 2 Kings chapter 2, the Bible says that he went up thence from Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city mocking him. Do you know who I'm talking about? It's Elijah, right? Making fun of him, mocking the prophet. The Bible says, and he went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up the way, there came forth little children, not children, but little children. Children would have been like maybe, 12, 15, you could have said. These were little children. Little children. It says they mocked him and said unto him, "Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head." And he turned back and he looked on them and he cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tore, listen to this, and tore 42 children. That's a mob. I've seen little children hitting the police officers in video clips, telling them off and swearing at them. Little children, that's what they're being taught. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 16, the Bible says, "But they mocked the messengers of God and despised God's word and misused the prophets until the wrath of God arose against this people until there was no remedy." Well, God has a limit. And they're scoffing now. They're mocking. They're saying evolution. We came from primates, monkeys, whatever you want to call it. It's all one, in essence. Isaiah 57 and verse 3, the Bible says, "But draw near hither, ye sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do you sport yourself? Against whom make ye a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are ye not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood?" Wow. That happened before. And it's happening again. Only now it's happening in the Christian tent. We have full grace. We have full light. We know our Redeemer liveth. And yet we will not serve Him. We will not speak for Him. And that's we who know the Lord. Where does that put everybody who doesn't know the Lord? It puts them in this category where they get to be a mess. Because the church is not the church that God wanted us to be many times. I believe all the seven churches are in every generation. You've heard me teach that. There is the Philadelphian church. There is the Laodicean church. There is the Smyrnian church being persecuted in this world. But as far as the greater Christendom umbrella, we're in sad shape today. Because it's all about so many other things than the main thing. What the apostles' commandment was, which was to go and tell people about Jesus. The Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 21, "Have you not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundation of the earth? To whom will you liken me, or shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching out His understanding." Peter's going to say, He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. Isaiah said a very similar word. You can't plumb the depths of His understanding. God waits because God knows what's going on. God knows what needs to be done, and He will do it at the exact right time. But He also will do nothing but that He reveals it to His prophets, the Bible says. The Lord will do nothing but that He reveals it to His prophets. He's revealed it to you and me in His Word, what He's doing. He's told us that desolations are coming, and He's told us that we need to go tell the people in our homes, our brothers-in-laws, our sons-in-laws, whoever it is, tell them they need to get saved. That's awakening to action. So how do you wake up the saints? By putting them in remembrance. By helping them be mindful, mindful, mindful. And the Bible tells us that when you do that, you'll be reacting properly to the prophet's words and the commandment of the apostles. Would you bow with me for a moment?
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.